The reading this morning is taken from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9, and then 22 to 25. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold which perishes, even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply, from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the Word that was preached to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you, Francis and Peter. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Bible. We thank you for your words for us today. And we ask by your Holy Spirit now that you would help us to hear what you have to say to each of us. And we pray this in the glorious name of Jesus. Amen. Well, all this World Cup stuff has made me reminisce a bit about the glory days of my football career. Yeah. And early in the 1980s, a long time ago, I managed or ran a little Sunday morning pub team. And we were in a cup game, and we were playing against this team who were higher in the league than us. And they had a particularly good goalkeeper. Anyway, we're in the second half. We're 0-0. We're doing really well. And we get a free kick just inside their half. It's almost on the halfway line, a long way out. And remember, this goalkeeper is really good. Anyway, I took the free kick, set the ball, and I hit it. Oh, I hit it so sweetly. And it went through the air like a rocket, heading for the top corner of the goal. And the goalkeeper, he dived full length and his fingers outstretched. But my shot beat him. It hit the back of the net. And I was a hero. We won the game. I was mobbed, and I loved the glory of that moment. It was fantastic. And then a few weeks later, I was back in goal, just where I usually play for this team. I was back in goal, and one of my teammates on the halfway line, he was under a bit of pressure, and he passed the ball back to me, and I came out to my area to take the ball, and the ball bounced, and I misjudged it, and it bounced in front of me, and it bounced over my head, and it dribbled into the goal. The glory of my wonder goal was history. as blame and shame took over. Glory can be very short-lived, I learnt that time. But having said that, it's good. It's good to receive glory. It's good to give glory to others. And we might all take up Moroccan citizenship so that we can share in that glory, maybe. I don't know. But all this raises a question for us to think about. Is it okay to desire glory? Is it okay to desire praise and recognition and honour for something that we've done or achieved? And that leads to a second question. If it is okay to desire glory, why is it that glory doesn't last? Why does it fade? Why does it become corrupted? Why does it get forgotten? Well, today's Bible reading, as we said, it's by Peter, one of Jesus' disciples. It helps us to answer these couple of questions as we see that the glory that might be found in sport or in art or in our families or our work or our exams, whatever that achievement might be, that glory that we have is like a taste. It's like a sign to a greater glory, a better glory, one that never fades or dies. Am I still going? Sorry? Shall I shout? It's all right. Can you hear me? Okay, fine. So let's go back to that first question, shall we? Is a desire for glory a good thing? Well, the short answer is yes, it is a good thing, because the desire for glory is a good, God-given thing. Well, how does that work? Well, we need to start with the glory of God. And that is a massive thing, which I would no way would I ever get close to explaining clearly. But let me just try briefly. In the Bible tells us that the glory of God is the infinite, the limitless beauty and magnificence and grandeur and greatness and worth of God's multiple perfections, the multiple perfections of his perfect character, if I can say that. The glory of God is awesome, it's perfect, and it's eternal. And God chooses to share his glory. He chooses to display it in many ways to make his glory known. He displays it in creation. He displays it in his word, in the Bible. And ultimately, he displays it in Jesus. In the book of Hebrews in the Bible, the writer says that Jesus is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of God's being. And in the Bible, right at the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis, the Bible tells us that when God created everything, he created human beings in his image to be like him, to have the same characteristics of God in our lives, to be like Jesus, if you like. So when we do something good, when we do something skillful, something impressive, it's a God-given thing to desire that act, that achievement, to be recognised. But to be recognised not in pride, not showing off our achievement so it sort of undermines the achievement and takes away the glory that's due to God for it, but to take that celebration, take it as a celebration of joy and of thankfulness. And because we're made in God's image, we're made to share and give glory to others as well. When we see something impressive, something excellent, and amazingly, that always, as we give glory, as we receive glory, we also feel joy. Interesting that glory and joy go together. We'll come back to that in a minute. So that's the first point. The desire for glory, to receive it and to give it, is a good God-given thing. It's an aspect of our God-given character, because we're made in his image and he is glorious and he shares his glory. So that brings us to our second question. Why does glory fade? Why does it get forgotten? Well, ultimately, it's because we die. It's because of death. At the end of our reading in verse 24, Peter writes this. He says that all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. And grass withers and the flowers fall. The glory of the person, the glory of the achievement, eventually it withers and dies. Because of our unfaithfulness towards God, because of our general rebellion against God's rule in our lives, we want to be our own king of our own life, the Bible calls that sin. Because of that, everything in God's good world is in some way tainted. It's somehow corrupted. Nothing's fixed. Nothing endures forever. And as Peter says in verse 23, everything is perishable. Everything dies. However wonderful someone or something is, eventually the glory will fade. Perhaps it's going to be replaced by someone or something newer, bigger, better. Or maybe the glory gets spoiled because of pride, as I mentioned. I don't know if you've been following in the news recent days and weeks the stories surrounding the Portuguese footballer Cristiano Ronaldo. And whether you love him or hate him, he is no doubt one of the most talented footballers ever. And yet last week the BBC ran this really sad headline in their news. Cristiano Ronaldo, it says, reduced to the role of superstar nobody wants. Glory spoils, glory fades. But ultimately glory fades and then it dies, as I said, because we all perish, because we all die. The initial glory fades as someone dies, and then over time, as we found out with Jacob and that activity, memories fade. Even when there are massive digital records, even with super quiz stars like Boz, who probably knew some of the answers, eventually glory fades, generations die out, we just forget it all. So the glory of people, the glory of achievements are a God-given thing, but because of death, they fade, they disappear. But as I mentioned at the beginning, the glory and the joy that goes with it, that we might experience in sport or anything else, is a taster, it's a pointer to a far, far greater glory, the glory of Jesus. And that's what Peter talks about in this passage. You may know, you may have heard that as a Christian, our job is to give glory to Jesus for what he's done for us, for who he is, and to do that in our words, in our actions and so on. And that is absolutely right. That's what we're called to do. But God blesses us as well. He recognises us and he gives us glory as we seek to follow him, to follow Jesus. And this glory that Jesus shares with us, as we mentioned earlier, I think, in the activity, is the glory. It's the only glory that doesn't fade. The glory that's perfect. The glory that is forever. Not just when we're winning. Not just when things are going well. But even in the most difficult of circumstances, as we stand firm for Jesus in our faith. Our Bible reading, as I said earlier, was a letter that Peter wrote. He wrote it to Christians in the first century to people in the regions of what we now know as Turkey. And he writes the letter knowing full well that they're going through trials and struggles and opposition. But his emphasis in the letter is on reminding them of the glory and joy that they have because they know Jesus. And his words are just as relevant, just as a relevant encouragement to us all here today. If we believe and trust in Jesus, if we've made him our King and Saviour. Peter tells us that the share of Jesus' glory that we receive from him comes in sort of three packages, three ways, if you like, past, present and future. We've already received Jesus' glory if we're a Christian. We're going to keep on receiving it now until we die. And then after we die and Jesus comes back, we'll share his glory with him forever. Let me read some of these verses again from the reading. Verse 3 to beginning of verse 6. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who, through faith, are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is to be revealed in the last minute. That means when Jesus returns. In all this, you greatly rejoice, says Peter. In verses 3 to 5, Peter lays out the remarkable glory which Jesus has already shared with us through his death and resurrection. He says, if we believe and trust in Jesus, if we believe that his death and resurrection is the only way that we can be saved from the penalty of sin that we deserve as rebels against God, if we believe that, the glory, the recognition by God that he bestows on us, that he gives us, It's a remarkable thing. We're born a new birth to become a child of the living, glorious God. If you're a Christian, you are a son and daughter or daughter of God. Because verse 3 says, we're born into a new life. And it's a life that doesn't end with death, but Peter said it's a living hope. Because Jesus beat death, because he was resurrected from death and is alive, our hope, our living hope, is that we will follow Jesus through death to be with him forever. Verse 4 and 5 tells us that that hope is not a false hope, it's not a faint hope, it's a certain hope, because our eternal life as a child of God is an inheritance. Now, it's not like an inheritance that you might get in a will, where, I don't know, if you fall out with the person who's written the will before they die, you know, you get taken off of it. Or, you know, or it turns out that when the person dies, they can't fulfill the aspects of the will for whatever reason. It's not that type of inheritance. The inheritance that we have as Christians is already waiting for us. It's there in place. It's an unchangeable promise. It won't change. It won't fade. It won't spoil or die out. Why is that? Because we're told, because it's stored, because it's kept, because it's protected by the unchangeable promise-keeping hands of God himself in heaven. We've already received the glory of this inheritance as a child of God if we believe it is because of what Jesus has done through his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. And then at the beginning of verse 6, Peter emphasizes that, so therefore we should greatly rejoice for the glory that we've just been talking about, we know is already ours. But then he goes on, as I said, he writes in this letter that he knows that they're going through all kinds of trials. All kinds of trials that will, same as for us, that will test our faith in Jesus in some way. But he stresses that whatever those trials and struggles might be, it doesn't change the glory that we share with Jesus. In fact, it makes us more like Jesus, because Jesus told us to expect to share his suffering and his glory. Later in his letter, a couple of times, Peter writes in chapter 3, he says, but even if you suffer for what is right, you are blessed. And in chapter 4, verse 14, he says, if you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Present tense. Excuse me, I'm just going to cough. So I took a cough sweet just before I started preaching, and then I was chewing it, and now it's making me choke. Those promises that that Peter says there about the present tense, that Jesus will bless us. And in verse 7, he says that those blessings in the present, the blessings we get from Jesus, are a blessing of strengthening our faith. He calls it refining our faith. It might seem hard at the time, but that is Jesus adding his glory, if you like, his blessing on us as we stand firm for him. As our faith is refined today through a struggle, our faith is stronger for the next day and the next trial. So we can continue to glorify Jesus and share in his glory every day. And you know, if that wasn't encouraging enough, Peter then at the end of verse 7, he says that that perseverance of our faith through struggles and so on will result in praise, glory and honour in the future when Jesus is revealed, when Jesus returns. When Jesus returns, when he comes to put all things right, when he comes to judge us all and take to him all those who believe and trust in him into eternity, Jesus is going to reward us for standing firm. That's how much he thinks of us and is gladdened by our faith. Our standing firm for Jesus gives him the deserved glory as we show in our lives that he is worth it, and yet we will be rewarded by his glory when he returns. And that knowledge, says Peter, that we're blessed now, and we will be blessed in the future with his glory because of what Jesus has done for us in the past. Peter says that increases our love and our faith for Jesus so deep inside us. Verse 8, these beautiful words, it gives us a deep, inexpressible and glorious joy. The glory of Jesus in our lives and an inexpressible and glorious joy. They go together. But you might be sitting there and thinking, well, okay, Dave, that's fair enough. But sometimes, especially if I'm going through a struggle, you know, I don't feel that I'm sharing in Jesus' glory. I don't feel that glorious joy of the promised inheritance. Our feelings can overshadow the truth. And this is one of the reasons when we become a Christian, one of these wonderful blessings from God, that we're born into a family, as brothers and sisters or children of God. And Peter emphasizes this in verse 22, where he says that now that you have purified yourself by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for each other, that you've become a Christian and you know God's love, now love one another deeply from the heart. Love one another deeply, together, as a team, with Jesus as our captain, you might say. And that echoes that short reading that Francis read from the Gospel of John, where Jesus, as he prays for all people who will become Christians, including us here today, Jesus says, I've given them my glory so that they will be one together. Not a load of individuals that get his glory, but a family, a church, you might call sometimes called, so that we will commend to each other God's glory in our lives and the joy that brings. That will be caring practically for each other in love, as Peter says, but also reminding each other regularly of the glory and the joy that we have to keep us going. And how can we do that? We do that together. Again, it's verses 23 and 25. Let me read these two verses. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. And in verse 25, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. We have the glory of God's written word. We have the glory of Jesus, God's living word, by his Holy Spirit, every day, keeping us going as we do that as a family. And his word, his gospel, his good news of Jesus, it doesn't change, it doesn't fade. It endures forever, says the Bible. And that's why we need to stick together with it. We need to hold on to the truth of the Bible, follow Jesus closely and together as a family. In the past, we received Jesus' glory through his death and resurrection. In the present, we keep on being blessed by him as we trust him, as we trust his word and we stick together. And then in the future, when Jesus blows the final whistle, we will know the full glory of being with him forever. Sue Springate will pick up on that next week when she talks about the final whistle. But as I finish, not about football, but this is about cricket. Last week, England's cricket team won a remarkable test match in Pakistan. Fantastic game. And it was the last minutes of the last day, of the fifth day, they took the last wicket, England. And the team were exuberant. You know, the pundits, the media, the cricketing public, they just showered so much praise and glory on the team and the achievement. And rightly so, because it was fantastic. And Ben Stokes, the captain of the England team, he was interviewed soon after. And he was talking about that glory, about that achievement, and how much joy he felt. And in the interview he said, you know, it's probably only sport that can make you feel like this. And as I heard it, I thought to myself, Ben, it's a great feeling. I know that from my wonder goal that I told you earlier on. It's a great feeling, that glory in sport. But it's just a taster of what you can know and experience. Not just when things are going well, but all the time, in all circumstances, today, every day, forever. Because as Peter says in verse 8, when you know Jesus, when you've received Jesus' glory in your life, you are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. and it will never fade, and it will endure forever. If you're a Christian here today, be encouraged. Talk to each other about the glory and joy of knowing Jesus. If you're here today and you are not a Christian, you know, you are missing out on so much. It's not easy being a Christian. I'm not going to lie to you. It's sometimes hard. That's what Peter tells us in the Bible. But if you give your life to Jesus, you will receive his glory. You will know him forever. You will live with him forever. And you will have a never fading, ever enduring, inexpressible and glorious joy. Amen.